Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
5:49 the time. It's Friday afternoon. It's almost 6 o'clock. You know what time it is. It's time for Simon Marks and his American Week.
Ben, this time last week, Donald Trump was on his way to Alaska for his fateful summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Exactly 1 week ago, President Trump was still indicating that unless the Russian leader agreed to a ceasefire in Ukraine, or at the very least evinced a clear willingness to begin the process of wrapping his war up, the president would unleash very severe consequences on Moscow. Remember this bravado?
My word, President. In my opinion, he would much rather take over all of Ukraine. But I am president, and he's not going to mess around with me.
Well, guess what? He did mess around with him, big time. But only after President Trump clapped like a performing seal, welcoming the arrival of a fishy treat, when Putin disembarked from his jet and set foot on U.S. soil for the first time in a decade. And only after the U.S. president allowed the Kremlin leader, smiling like the Cheshire Cat, to join him on the back seat of the Beast, Trump's armored limo, as it conveyed both of them to the summit site. From there, for Donald Trump, everything went downhill. If you don't believe me, maybe you'll believe Jackie Heinrich, White House correspondent for Fox News.
It was just very unusual, atypical, and the way that it felt in the room was not good. It did not seem like things went well, and it seemed like Putin came in and steamrolled. Got right into what he wanted to say.
Who would ever have imagined Vladimir Putin steamrollering Donald Trump? If only we'd had an inkling. NBC News reported that the president's entourage, including Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, looked ashen as Trump conceded in uncharacteristically brief remarks to the press that he'd got basically nowhere.
There were many, many points that we agreed on, most of them, I would say, a couple of big ones that we haven't quite got there, but we've made some headway. So there's no deal until there's a deal.
What followed next was exactly as Putin had anticipated. Last Saturday, Trump played a round of golf with Steve Witkoff, the special envoy who has served very much as his Putin whisperer. By the time it was over, Trump had abandoned all thought of those very severe consequences if Putin messed him around, and instead he repositioned himself, parroting Putin's positions, indicating that yes, Ukraine should surrender the entire eastern region of Donbass in negotiations, that no, Ukraine can never be a member of NATO, and that the ceasefire he said he coveted going into last Friday's Alaska summit was no longer either on the agenda or even necessary.
I don't think you need a ceasefire. You know, if you look at the 6 deals that I settled this year, they were all at war. I didn't do any ceasefires. And I know that it might be good to have, but I can also understand strategically why, well, you know, one country or the other wouldn't want it.
There is only one country that doesn't want a truce, and it's not the one headed by President Volodymyr Zelensky, who was sitting alongside President Trump there on Monday in the Oval Office as the US leader embraced Putin's positions. Just on the facts, Trump keeps claiming he settled 6 wars this year without the need for any ceasefires, which will come as news to, among others, the Indians and the Pakistanis, as well as the Cambodians and the Thais, all of whom recently agreed to ceasefires that President Trump at the time claimed to have brokered. He did not end wars between them. European leaders, including the Prime Minister, who raced to Washington to try and flatter President Trump out of Vladimir Putin's orbit, succeeded in protecting Zelensky from another Oval Office drubbing, but on other issues made less headway. Friedrich Merz, the German Chancellor, gave it the old college try.
To be honest, we all would like to see a ceasefire, the latest from the next meeting on.
I will say, and again I say it, in the 6 wars that I've settled,
I haven't had a ceasefire.
That is just one example of so many this week where the president concocted facts out of thin air. And it should be deeply worrying in Kyiv, at number 10 and all over Europe that Ukraine and its allies are now dealing with an American president who cannot even stipulate to facts.
It's not a war that should have been started. You don't take on a nation that's 10 times your size.
That was Trump this week, falsely claiming yet again that Ukraine started the war. And in that interview with Fox News, he went much further, revealing a version of history that is flatly incorrect and heavily influenced by Putin and his Kremlin talking points. Here he is claiming that Ukraine started the war in order to get Crimea back from the Russians who seized it in 2014.
They went in, they said, we want to get Crimea back. This was at the beginning. Now, Putin, in all fairness to him, he made a good deal. He got it from Obama. All because Barack Hussein Obama gave it away in one of the dumbest real estate deals I've ever seen.
But that is completely untrue. You can certainly fault Barack Obama for not taking stronger action to liberate Crimea from Russian annexation, but he never gave it away in any kind of real estate deal, to the point where even Trump's government, his own administration, still recognizes Crimea as sovereign Ukrainian territory and rejects Russia's claims to it outright. Also in that interview, he spoke palpable nonsense again, straight from the Kremlin's talking points about NATO.
Long before Putin, it was a no-no by Russia or the Soviet Union or anything you want to call it. Russia said, we don't want the so-called opponent or the enemy, let's use that term, we don't want them on our border. And they were right.
Again, everything about that is wrong. As far back as 1991, long before Putin, Russian President Boris Yeltsin indicated he was interested in NATO membership. And then a decade later, in 2001, Vladimir Putin told President Bill Clinton that he too fancied the idea of Russia joining NATO. And it was not the positioning of NATO forces on Russia's borders that led to the war on Ukraine. It was the other way around. The Kremlin's decision to invade its neighbour led to the repositioning of NATO forces. All of this matters because it demonstrates that Putin's newspeak has now colonised Trump's mind. And not, it turns out, only on international affairs.
Vladimir Putin said something, one of the most interesting things. He said, your election was rigged because you have mail-in voting. He said, mail-in voting, every election. He said, no country has mail-in voting. It's impossible to have mail-in voting and have honest elections.
That's the president talking in Alaska to Sean Hannity on Fox News, revealing publicly that Vladimir Putin engaged only last Friday in direct interference in the next American election. He told Trump exactly what he knew the American president wanted to hear and essentially instructed him to undermine democracy further by making it more complicated for Americans to vote. On Monday, as if by magic,
mail-in ballots are corrupt. Mail-in ballots, you can never have a real democracy with mail-in ballots. And we, as a Republican Party, are going to do everything possible that we get rid of mail-in ballots. We're going to start with an executive order that's being written right now by the best lawyers in the country to end mail-in ballots. You know that we're the only country in the world, I believe, I may be wrong, but just about the only country in the world that uses it.
He is wrong. You want to know another country that uses postal voting? Russia. It turns out a bloke called Vladimir Putin signed a law permitting mail-in ballots in 2020. Of course, that was a funny old year, but then so's this one.
We're back with the Fox News Alert. We're just learning the FBI agents have raided the Maryland home of former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton.
Shortly after the raid began, FBI Director Kash Patel posting on X, quote, no one is above the law. FBI agents on a mission.
That's the big news here today, and I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that a batch of documents pertaining to Jeffrey Epstein is due to be delivered today to a House of Representatives committee. John Bolton, of course, a former top Trump official, has become one of the president's most persistent critics. The FBI raid is the latest indication that we are now living under authoritarianism here. Another sign of that, Trump's claim this week that the Smithsonian Institution's museums in Washington focus too much on how bad slavery was and insufficiently on the brightness of America. brightness, you say? Well, here's the president last night talking to some of the federal agents that he's deployed on the streets of Washington to deal with a largely concocted crime wave in the city. And he had exciting news for all of us.
One of the things we're going to be redoing is your parks. I'm very good at grass because I have a lot of golf courses all over the place. I know more about grass than any human being, I think, anywhere in the world. We're going to have all brand new, beautiful grass. You know, like everything else, grass has a life. Do you know that? Grass has a life. You know, we have a life and grass has a life. The grass here died about 40 years ago.
Grass has a life. But those of us who remember 1975 in the UK, we already knew that, didn't we?
You promised me green grass, not to tell what you were.
Thanks to Windsor Davis, Don Estelle, and their cover of this Inkspots classic. Ben, you're never too young to enjoy it.
Sing lofty.
Why do you whisper green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass, the trees don't have to know.
Should we just play this for the last hour of the show? No? All right. Simon, thank you very much. It's Simon Marks with his American Week. No, we won't, because there's lots of for us to discuss between now and 7 o'clock.